tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'audu billahi min ash-shaytani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Habibullah, as-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another wonderful episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And our topic of discussion is guests are a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, subhanallah, and we have a noble guest in our midst, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah, Jazakullah Sayyidi. Welcome and marhaba to the program. It's so delightful to have you, Sayyidi, as a guest.
Likewise, it's always an honor to be here with you.
Alhamdulillah. So this makes sense today to speak of blessings of, you know, receiving a guest, and guests are actually a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so is our esteemed guest, mashallah. Sayyidi, with this regard, with regards to the guests, there are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To begin with, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. Without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi. We have officially commenced our today's episode and program with the blessings of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we are discussing the barakah and the blessings of guests, in this regard, Sayyidi, what are some of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to begin with for the sake of inspiration?
Subhanallah, Muhammad. You know, one must first understand and realize that in Islam, serving one's guest, accommodating them, you know, being good towards them, this is highly encouraged to us by Islam, by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when a guest comes to someone's home, he comes with his own sustenance, subhanallah. And when he leaves his home, due to him, the sins of the host are forgiven. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Sayyidi, so this what we sometimes encounter with regards to people. At times, people may tell you, right, oh, you got somebody coming. Ish. You know, the way they would,
Make that expression.
Go about it. Yes, like right, they are so unpleased with this, that the guest is coming. They take it as a burden. But in fact, they are a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not that they're coming to your house, so they're going to, you know, eat of your sustenance, but they bring their own sustenance. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them with their own sustenance. Pious predecessors, they used to say, dane dane pe likhaye khane wale kana, meaning every grain that we consume, the one who consuming it, his name is already being written on it.
Subhanallah.
So when the guests come and they eat from our table, they're not eating our food. Yes. They are eating their own sustenance granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just that it is placed on our table.
Allah.
And due to them, firstly, it is of no loss to us.
Right.
Secondly, they bring barakah with them. Subhanallah. So these are the beautiful words in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of encouragement. And when we are going to purchase a house, or maybe rent a house, as we all do in South Africa, so we look for proper accommodation where we could accommodate ourselves, the family. And then usually people don't look for a spare room when the guests arrive. So this has to be in the thought process. If we are one of those people who would invite guests to stay over, it allows you, if you have the capacity and capability, then you should make room for your guests. I see that there is an incident that is mentioned in the books of a hadith. That Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that one day a disbeliever came as a guest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered for the milk of a goat to be brought for him. And the goat was milked and he drank all the milk. Now, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered for the milk of another goat to be brought. The second bowl, that too he drank. And like that he drank the milk of seven goats. And when he did that, he slept at night, and the next morning he embraced Islam.
Allah.
Subhanallah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered for the milk to be brought of one goat again. And when he drank the milk of the first goat after embracing Islam the next day, then the second bowl was presented as well. He couldn't drink that. Allahu Akbar. Look at the barakah when a person embraces Islam. And here we want to highlight the hospitality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he was hospitable to this individual. He wasn't even a Muslim. Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
But because of the noble act of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his generosity, he had embraced Islam.
Subhanallah. Also, Masab, you know, what's important to remember is, like, say now, back in our grandparents' time, you know, the way they would, well, what their mentality was of guests compared to now is a world of difference. You know, back then, they would be happy upon receiving guests, and together with that, they would get the best food for their guest. They would make sure that their guest is absolutely comfortable, that they are not uncomfortable, and also that the accommodation, the sleeping place, everything is taken care of. This is how it was, you know, back in those times, where they had respect for their guests. They weren't rude to their guests. They wouldn't consider them to be a burden. They wouldn't give them those foods which weren't so tasty, you know, or they wouldn't give them that food that wasn't the best. They would always give them those foods, those beverages, those desserts, etc., which were always the best. And that which was not so much of the best, they would keep it for themselves. This was, you know, the contact back in the day. But now we see it is totally opposite. Where, you know, if someone has to hear, just as how you've mentioned earlier on, if someone has to hear that a guest is coming, then one would say, start scratching their head and thinking to themselves, now what am I going to do? I'm holding such a big burden on my shoulders, I don't know what to do. And then when the guests come, instead of, you know, going out of the way, going all out, whatever is there, they would just serve it to them. Even if it's 1 day old food or 2 day old food, they would serve it to them. So this is the condition of how it is nowadays, not with all people, we can say with some people that have this kind of a mentality and this this kind of an attitude towards their guests. But the Sharia and, you know, Islam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us otherwise. And what were the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In one narration, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even would borrow in order to provide for his guests. Subhanallah. You know, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a person to a disbeliever to ask to borrow some grain. And this disbeliever said, no, I won't borrow until you make a pledge. And look at this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pledged his armor to get that little bit of grain to serve his guests. Allahu Akbar. So this is teaching us that even when we have guests, even if we don't have anything at home, or if we have little at home, still we should go all out and borrow from someone in order for us to serve our guests. Because this is how highly encouraged it is in Islam to be to serve our guests and to respect them as well. And where do we learn all of this? We learn this from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Respecting the guests, Sayyidi, that you said it is baked into the fabric of Islam,
right,
that we should respect the guest. I mean, there are various different ways. What is the Islamic etiquette when it comes to respecting the guest?
Mm.
In what way can we show respect and honor to our guest, inshallah?
Well, Muhasab, in this regard, right, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah, he mentions, you know, regarding the respect for a guest and what does it entail, what does it mean? So he says that the respect for one's guest is that you should meet them with a smile on your face. It shouldn't be such that they come at the door and then you have a sour face. Your face is all down and you're not even showing happiness on seeing them. You know, this you're already showing that you have no interest in them at all. So as soon as we receive guests, then smile. That smiling alone is like an expression of you showing them that I am embracing you, I am giving you a warm welcome. And automatically that will create a connection. And then the ice will break. There will be no awkwardness. Why? Because of smiling. So Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah, he says that the host, the respect for a guest is that you should meet him while smiling. And thereafter he mentions that you should arrange food as well.
Subhanallah.
So food should be arranged. I mean, a guest is coming right to your house and it's a guest. It shouldn't be, you know, our normal food that we lay out, you know, for us to eat. Rather, it should be those kind of foods that are, I wouldn't say expensive, but those kind of foods that are not usually on a daily basis eaten. It should be, you know, exquisite. Because this also will, to the guests, it will make them seem that, look, this person is taking such good care of me. He went out of his way to get this for me. It's so expensive. The guests will know it's so expensive. So expensive. These thoughts will run in their mind. And they will appreciate you even more for it. For going out of your way and arranging good food. And thereafter he says that one should serve him as much as possible with his own hands.
Subhanallah.
And Allama Ibn Battal rahimahullah, he says that one way of treating a guest with respect is that you eat with him. And this is very important, that you eat with him and do not let him feel lonely by having him eat the meal alone. So entertain your guest with whatever best thing that you have. This is also it's an important guideline for us. Because at times, maybe we as the host, we may have eaten 15 or 20 minutes before the guest could arrive. Mm-hmm. We have eaten and our thought or mind may have been that, you know, let us eat first. When the guests come, then they can eat.
Seriously, if there is no interaction, then what is the difference you hosting the guest and the guest staying at a hotel?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
The hotel has its staff members taking lunch, breakfast for them and so on, right?
Yeah.
And when they're staying at your home and when they are your guest, that means there must be some personal interaction, one-on-one interaction,
100%.
Where you are seeing them, you are being jovial, you are smiling at them, you are sharing a meal with them, mm-hmm. together on the same table. So this shows the etiquette,
yeah.
that you are very much interested in the guest that has arrived at your door.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to sending somebody, you know, you want to give him breakfast, you send somebody with the breakfast. Lunchtime, you send his lunch with somebody. Supper time, you send the dinner with somebody. That doesn't mean, that doesn't show the spirit of being a host.
You have to be there with them one-on-one, yes. physically.
Yeah, because otherwise there would be no difference, that person staying at a hotel or staying at your house.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? There's basically no difference. Yeah. But here, what makes the difference is our own interaction with them, our own interest in them, you know, paying attention towards their needs, whatever they need, if they need to go somewhere, if they need to attend to something, help them out, if they need to go around, go to places, take them places, subhanallah. And when it comes to being a good host, alhamdulillah, I remember the example that is given in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Ansar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a good host they were to the Muhajirin Sahaba.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. One day, it is mentioned in the hadith that the Muhajirin Sahaba, those Sahaba who migrated from Makkah to Medina, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, we have become guests to such people who spend their wealth upon us, although they have very little."
Allah.
The very little that they have, even that they spend upon us. Subhanallah. And we have not seen anyone who helps us to this extent. And we also notice that they go and earn their livelihood. They work tirelessly the entire day. And whatever profit that they receive, they share that with us.
Allah.
They are working for it, but the profit that they receive, they are sharing even that with us. Subhanallah. And we are afraid, the Sahaba, the Muhajirin Sahaba, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are afraid that perhaps they will take away all our sawab as well. Allahu Akbar. But to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Muhajirin Sahaba that no, that won't happen until you keep on making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, and you keep on praising for their effort.
Subhanallah.
So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is appreciating the efforts of the Ansar Sahaba, and the way Muhajirun Sahaba, they are so impressed by the hospitality of the Ansar Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were all day to ready to help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, help his Sahaba, so much so that if someone had two properties, they would give one to their Muhajir brother. Subhanallah. And in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has made pairs, meaning he would couple one Muhajir Sahabi with one Ansar Sahabi and make them brothers. Subhanallah. And this is how Islamic brotherhood was founded between the guests and the hosts.
Allah, Allah.
And if we keep that in mind, the hosting etiquette of the Ansar Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we compare ourselves. Do we do the same for our brothers when they arrive, when they come to our homes? How do we treat them with respect, with love, with honor? And this should actually motivate us to try harder to please the guests that are bringing the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them when they are coming to our homes.
You know, together with that, Munasab, one should also, you know, give their children this tarbiyah as well, this upbringing as well, this lesson in life as well. You know, whilst they are small, you know, advise them, tell them how to be respectful towards their guest, how to be a good host. Also give them some activities to do, give them some things to do. You know, when a guest comes, then make them go take a glass of water and give it to the guest. This is, you know, in the interim, it's their training. You know, I remember I went to one house, and subhanallah, I was truly, truly amazed by this. We went inside, it was myself and a couple of my colleagues. We went in the house, and the dining mat was laid out. So we all sat on the floor, and whilst we were sitting there, the food was already laid. And then I saw that small children, small kids, like maybe 7, 8, 9 years old around there, they are coming and they are holding a tray. And on that tray, they have the salad, and another tray, they have the drinks, the waters, and you know, all of these different types of foods and beverages. They are holding the tray, and they are going to each person and giving them their cup. And I was just amazed to see this, that at such a young age, they are getting this tarbiyah, and they are getting this tarbiyah and this upbringing from their parents. Imagine when they grow up, what a good host they will need.
Allah.
You know, from small, if they are getting this training, when they grow up, then they will also be good host towards their guest as well. And one of the etiquettes, you know, the manners of a host is that the food should be brought quickly. When the guests come, then the food must already be there. And the other etiquette, it is mentioned that if they are fruits as well, then they should be brought first, because from also a medical point of view, to eat fruits before eating your food is healthier and much more better. So even if you have some fruits at home, cut them up, put them on a platter and give them to the guests. In that time, you can get the food hot whilst they are eating fruits. So at the same time, they are not just sitting there and doing nothing. They are not just sitting there and just looking at our faces. No, they are engaged and they are occupied. So these are, you know, some of the manners and etiquettes of being a host. Also, another point is that if there are different types of dishes, you know, maybe there's chicken kalya or mutton curry or whatever dishes they are, then it is mentioned that the delicious dishes, the ones that are most tasty, they should be brought first to the guest, so that whoever amongst them wants to eat from them, they can do so. So if we have a variety of dishes, we should give those dishes which are the most tasty. You know, normally what happens is that we would just give any food out there, whether it's the least tastiest or the most tastiest, we would just put them all there and leave it. But to the guest, we should give them that selection of a dish which is the most tastiest and place it in front of them.
Subhanallah.
Not keep it at a distance where they feel awkward to say, can I have that? Can I have this? No, keep it in front of them so that they would be comfortable in eating and dishing out. The other point that's also mentioned is that the dining mat should not be removed unless the guest stops eating. So it should be there. You know, from these beautiful points and Madani pearls, we learn that when our guests are eating, then we should also eat with them. Even if we are full, we shouldn't stop eating. Why? Because the host not eating, then they will also feel shy and won't eat. Yes. But if the host eats a little, just to keep the guest going, the guest will feel comfortable and they will eat to their full. Alhamdulillah. So these are some of the manners that the host should adopt as well.
SubhanAllah Sayyidi. First of all, you mentioned how we should treat our guests with respect and give them honor that they deserve.
Right.
SubhanAllah, they come as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they come bearing the blessings. And they come with their own sustenance, subhanAllah. And here, I can relate one of the incidents that happened where I was a guest of a great scholar of Al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Great Alim Adin, subhanAllah, a senior scholar. And when I was a guest, he came with a container of water in his hand to wash my hand.
Allah.
I said, please wash your hand. I'll pour the water for you. And I was shocked to see that. And I felt hesitant that, you know, how can I? He said, no. We are commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to respect our guests, honor our guests.
Look at that mentality.
And at the same time, they are teaching you the Islamic values, subhanAllah. Yes. And this really struck me that, you know, this is how we should be. This is how we should be making amal on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the practical method of doing that. And mashallah, Sayyidi, when it comes to the fact what you have mentioned that the tablecloth should not be removed.
Right.
Meaning, whatever is there, the dishes that are there, they shouldn't be removed before the guest is done eating.
Right.
Here, I went to a restaurant and there was a trainee who was working there.
Right.
How I knew it was a trainee, it was revealed to me later.
Right.
So, we were eating our meal. And before we could finish our meal, that staff came and started removing all the dishes from the table. And the manager, he was upset at that. Then he came and apologized and he said he was a trainee, he didn't know the rule of hospitality.
Allah.
So that's when you know somebody doesn't know the etiquette of being a host. SubhanAllah. And this should be the common knowledge, how to treat our guests with respect and observe the etiquettes. And at my home, a father would always say, he would send me the first one, go put water there first. First thing. Or put water there, just in case they are thirsty. SubhanAllah. Before, while the food is being prepared, being dished, take the water first. So that they don't have to wait any longer. If they want to drink water in the meantime, they can do that. SubhanAllah. So these are the ways, Sayyidi, in which we are taught and we are groomed in Islamic way. And this is the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he's the first host. SubhanAllah. He's the first to a host his guests. Basically, that's the words in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Mufti Ahmad Yarif al-Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said he would go to such a level where he would not eat until he has a guest. He would not eat until he has a guest. He would go and look for people to host them, to feed them. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. And the house that he had four entrances. So guests could come from any entrance. Subhanallah. So he had gone to such a level and enthusiastic to serve the guests. Subhanallah.
Allah, Allah. I mean, you know, so look at the kind of hospitality that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam would show to his guests. And this is something for us to learn from, for us to show respect to our guests, for us to treat our guests well also. And there's a very beautiful narration in which Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when a person extends hospitality to his brother for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not want any reward and thanks for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 angels to his home who for 1 year they do tasbih and tahleel and say the takbir and keep making dua of forgiveness for him, meaning for the host. And when that year ends, the worship equal to the whole year of the angel's worship. The worship equal to the whole year of the angel's worship is written in his record of deeds.
Subhanallah.
And it is at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he feeds him the pure foods of paradise in Jannah. Subhanallah. So this is, can one imagine the immense reward in serving one's guest, that for the entire year they will get the reward of the worship of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Masa, one very interesting note is that if one wants to learn how to be a good host or wants to know how to be a good host, you know, we have the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us on this. How should one be as a host? How should one be as a guest? And also together with that is that in our home, you know, for those who have grandparents, one should also look at their grandparents when guests comes to their house. You know, because by looking at them, we see that they cover A to Z in treating their guests well. And just by noticing them, one can gain so much from this. But today, Master, what we see is that a youngster, some youngsters out there, they think it's old school. You know what, I'm not going to gain anything from there. It's old school, Purana Zamana, and all of this here. But that same old school, that same old school, that is what shows you how to be a good host. I mean, our grandparents, they would tell us, the guests come, go and make salam to them. Go and greet them. That's not old school. This is what Islam encourages us and teaches us.
Go take this building water relationships.
And, yes, building relationships, establishing those connections with those whom you haven't even met in your life. But then in one ziyarat, in one visit, that connection got established. How? Because of treating them well, because of extending your arms out to them. That's how they got this respect for you now, they got this love for you now, and they would always be in your company. Why? Because they see you to be good. They see you as a good host, as a good guest. So we should also, you know, for those youngsters, for those who are blessed, who still have the grandparents alive, they should look towards them, because practically from childhood, we can learn these things as we grow up in life, giving water to our guests, taking this tray of samosas and placing it there, or taking this tray of dates, placing it there. All of this is our tarbiyah from small. So youngsters, those who do get upset, shouldn't get upset at it. Because in the long run, when you have a family of your own one day, then it will hit you and then you would sit back and think, hey, you know what, my nani used to do this, my dadi used to do this, my dada, my nana, my ammi, my abba, they used to do these things. Now I'm realizing, but back then, I used to make a mockery of it. Back then, I used to laugh at it. Back then, I used to think, that what point is all of this? Why are you telling me to do this? I don't want to do it, and you know, etc., etc. All of that were the building blocks to build you, motivate you, mold you into being a good human being, into being good towards others. Because one is, you know, we have been good towards our guests. Together with being good towards our guests, being good towards our host, vice versa, what we see happening is both parties, when that respect is given, when the proper treatment is given, what we see happening is we see happiness going around, circulating around. And this happiness is going from one heart to another heart to another heart to another heart. How? Because of the conduct and behavior of the host. Now imagine if the host was that kind of a person that was abrupt, violent, and anger issues. Why have you come to my house? Who told you to come here? This is not the time to come, etc., etc. And remarks all of these things, this place, any type of food there. What kind of information is the other person getting about you? That this person, he is terrible. He is horrible.
You'll never go there. And you'll sever all ties.
Absolutely. We'd never want to go there again. Why? Because of the conduct of the host. So we see it's boiling down to one's conduct. How one's conduct is one's character. One's character and conduct is in accordance with the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then one wouldn't have this problem. But if one's conduct is away from the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then other people will get distance from the host if a person has this conduct. So we see that good conduct, good behavior, these are the fundamental aspects in order to be a good host. It's almost impossible to be a good host if you're violent, if you're swearing, if you're abusive, if you're rude. You can't make a good host like that. But if you're good, your conduct is good, then you can. You're spreading happiness. And the spreading of happiness, it holds a lot of reward in it as well. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, the summary of it is that the greatest act after all of the fara'id acts is to put happiness in the hearts of other fellow Muslims.
Subhanallah.
And in another narration, it is mentioned that when a person puts happiness into the hearts of other fellow Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an angel from that happiness. This angel praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this person passes away, the one who instilled happiness in the hearts of others, when he passes away, this same angel comes into his grave and asks him, do you know who I am? This angel will say that I am that same happiness which you put into the hearts of other fellow Muslims. Today I am here, I'm going to help you answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir and show you your place in Jannah. So we see good conduct, being good towards our host, we spreading happiness, we smiling. So much of good deeds are taking place. How much of reward must a person be getting just for doing those acts which are not even huge? It's not even difficult, it's not even hard. It's something small and easy to do, but it will come down to a person's conduct, and that will determine the kind of host they are.
Subhanallah. Sayyidi, you've mentioned the all the noble qualities that must be present in a host. Ideally, a host should be a pleasant person.
Yeah.
He should be the person to go out of his way to to take care of the needs of the guest, whatever the need that they might have. He must sit and share a meal together. He must indulge in a conversation, find out how the guest is feeling, if he's okay, if he needs anything. And all of this is taught to us from the very childhood. And if it wasn't for it, how would we get to know the family friends?
Exactly.
I've gotten to know many people that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
And we help each other on a daily basis, you know, and listen to each other's issues, problems, and share our joys and sorrows together. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have this opportunity.
Definitely.
To share this emotion, to share this bond with them. And at the same time, how do we determine the sign of a good host?
Mm.
Let's say, for example, naturally, we all want to be treated well. Whether we treat others well or not,
right,
that's beyond the point. But we ourselves Inherently, we want to be treated well. We want royal treatment, whether we deserve it or not. But here, when we go to somebody else's house and they host us badly, that's the only time you will come to realize, okay, he's doing this. Do you do that? Then look towards you. Have a good look at the mirror. And then that will determine whether you are a good host or you're not.
That is so true.
These are, you know, practical ways we can remind ourselves, okay, I went to this person's place and he treated me in this way. But I also tend to treat people in the same way. So what's the difference between me and the host who treated me badly? Allahu Akbar. And then inshallah, we try to better ourselves from the one. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And now, Sayyidi, as we are discussing this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have a kalam in the praise of that Madine wale Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Madine wale, by our honorable Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Hafizahullah. And together with that, a beautiful clip of Nasiha by our Maulana Nashad Attari, Hafizahullah. Knowledge is light by our honorable Muballigh of Da'wat Islami. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we are going to go and listen to this kalam and Nasiha until we return. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Le raza, sab chale Madine ko, main na jaun are, khuda na kare, jaano dil ho shokhrad, sab to Madine pahunche, tum nahi chalte raza, sara to saman gaya, mera dil aur meri jaan Madine wale, mera dil aur meri jaan Madine wale, tujh pe so jaan se qurbaan Madine wale, tujh pe so jaan se qurbaan Madine wale, bhar de bhar de mere data meri jholi, bhar de bhar de bhar de mere data meri jholi, bhar de ab na rakh be saro saman Madine wale, ab na rakh be saro saman Madine wale, phir taman chain, phir Madine ka hai arman Madine wale.
We all know knowledge is power, knowledge is light. But what type of knowledge must take precedence over others? Which is the highest form? How do I prioritize? As a Muslim, as a believer, we learn that ilmuddin, knowledge of Islam, is priority over all other types of knowledges and sciences. It doesn't mean don't study anything else towards a degree or in this faculty, this science. No. It means your grounding, your foundation of Islamic knowledge, values and teachings must be solid. And parents out there, this is your responsibility to ensure that this grounding is solid in the life of your child. So when they get to school and college or university, the outside world, there's going to be influences out there from their peers, from their colleagues, from fellow students. But if they know who they are, I'm a Muslim, these are my values, these are the teachings of Islam, then they cannot be shaken. So one is to set their foundation on Islamic values and teachings and knowledge, authentic Islamic knowledge, make it firm, and also creating an environment in the home that has an Islamic ethos. One day Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he says, once the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam entered the masjid from his blessed room. There were two groups of people. One was reciting the glorious Quran and making dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other group, they were busy learning and teaching knowledge. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both are on the path of goodness. These people who are reciting the glorious Quran and making dua to Allah azza wa jal, these people, they are on the path of goodness. It is up to Allah azza wa jal whether He will answer their du'as or not. However, those people that are busy learning and teaching knowledge, and indeed I have been sent as a mu'allim, as one who teaches, then the noblest and last Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sat at the place with those who were learning and teaching knowledge. Just this one blessed hadith shows us, explains to us the importance of seeking knowledge of deen, not just seeking it, not just learning, but teaching others as well. Although to recite the Quran is a great ibadah, making dua a great ibadah, but imagine if a person doesn't have the necessary knowledge on how to recite the Quran, the tajweed rules, the makharij, the pronunciations, how would they recite the Quran properly? If they have not learned, they don't have the knowledge of the proper etiquettes of making dua, then how will they make dua properly? So it all comes down to knowledge. And in this environment of Dawud Islami, there are just too many opportunities, facilities, platforms, activities, even online, to firstly empower ourselves with authentic Islamic knowledge and then to transfer this to others. Starting in our households, with our spouse, our parents, our siblings, our children, grandchildren for those we have, and then fellow Muslims outside. It's about learning, teaching, teaching, learning. It's an ongoing process. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi. Welcome back, dear viewers, subhanAllah, and you are watching the program Dimensions of Islamic Life. And today we were just discussing this before we went for the Kalam and this Nasiha, discussing guests are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidi, there are many aspects that we have discussed with regards to the etiquettes of hosting one at your place, and inshallah, any passing words that you would like to tell our viewers out there, you know, as a nasiha that would stick, inshallah, azza wa jalla, and that could be the conclusion of our today's program and episode.
Well, Muhammad, you know, we've discussed that what manners the host should adopt, and now, inshallah, we can, you know, learn what manners the guest should adopt.
Yes.
And one of the etiquettes is that the guest should sit where he is requested to sit. The guest shouldn't go and sit just anywhere. He should go sit where he is requested to sit. And the second point is, whatever is brought to him, he should be pleased and content with that. He shouldn't complain about what he is getting. The third point is, he should not leave the place without the permission of the host. And the last point is that the guest, when he is leaving, he should make dua for the host. So these are some of the etiquettes that the guest should have when we are visiting other people's houses.
Subhanallah. So it goes both ways. Yeah. Subhanallah. Allahu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true understanding of our deen. Ameen. Ijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.